Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Welcome to the show. Thanks to my producer, Steve Roberts, for producing my show, and also, guys, we are viewer-supported stations, and if you can reach into your pocket, I know things are a little bit tough right now. Everybody's feeling the pinch of what's happening in our economies, but if you can share a few dollars for the stations, I know they would much appreciate it. I'm joined, of course, today by Ron Stevens, and Ron's another guy that I consider one of these Duracell bunnies. Once I get him going, it's going to be really hard for me to get him stopped, and he also promised today that he would let me talk at least two or three times during the course of the next hour, which I really do appreciate, Ron. Welcome to the show, and how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I've got laryngitis.
Oh, you're funny. That wasn't there 10 seconds ago, man. Come on. You think I'm one of these, just a regular citizen, that you can make them believe that, Ron? Hey, how's your coronavirus, by the way? I heard you had it.
Well, it's you're been dying. A picture that you sent me, the picture of the guy that got eaten by the shark who died of coronavirus. That was tough.
That was. Yeah, that was diagnosed in the hospital.
You know who I'd really like to sit down and have a chat with? Which was in the picture. I would love to sit down and spend, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 hours talking to Nancy Pelosi. I think I would really, really enjoy that.
Nancy Pelosi. I don't know if I could have a civilized conversation with her, man. She's right in the Wackadoodle Club.
Well, it's nice to sit down and talk to someone that's completely mentally ill and, you know, try and bring them around.
Maybe get a feel for how they think. Is that what you're thinking, Ron? Because I don't know if I could do that.
Well, you know, I call it, this is a psychological war. And, you know, these are psychopaths. And I don't know why people put up with them. It makes no sense to me.
Well, they do. Unfortunately, they have a lot of pull in our society still. You think with everything that's gone on here in the last couple of years that people would be waking up a little bit more, but they do seem to have a control over the human brain. Let's just call it the power of mind control is what I
well,
see.
When I ran across that the UN and the World Economic Forum signed the deal in June of last year, you knew they were going to come hard.
Yeah, they're going to sign the mass education pact here. When is it? April, I believe it is. There's April, the end of April, beginning of May. There's a pile of countries coming into the Vatican to sign the mass education pact so that everybody in the planet gets the same kind of education and the same propaganda. Isn't that great? They think of everything, man.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's going to work, you know. Honest to God, I mean, I'm absolutely astounded because 10 years ago when I talked to students, they just stared at me, and they believed their teachers. And, you know, when I ran in that election in 2018, in the provincial election, I just wanted to, take a look at the audience and see how their brains were working. And, the majority of the people, or pretty much everybody in the audience, is 50s and up. And they're just like little children whining at the, what are you going to do for me? But I ran into some students. I actually had a girl who was only like 16 or something, pulled me aside. And, you know, I said, I want to talk to you. And she's right on the ball, right? And she said, those people in the audience here don't have a clue. No, they don't. You know, and when I went and we did an all candidates meeting at a high school, and it was a big high school, and I could see the teachers just wanted to shoot me, and the other candidates wanted to shoot me, but the students, when I got down off the stage, they were high-fiving me. So, and I got a chance to talk to a lot of the students, and they're coming around, you know. So I don't know that our age group is really capable of, they become so dependent on the government. I don't think that they're so entrenched in the system. I don't know that they are really.
If we can deprogram them.
I mean, some of them are coming. I mean, I talked to a guy who was, he's about 4 years older than me yesterday, and I was absolutely astounded because he's right on the ball, right? And he understands that we do have a duty to turn this around. And he also understands that this is not a time to be fearful. This is one of the most interesting times in history, and we've got to get engaged in it. So, you know, what I tell, we need to bring these generations back together again so that they're working together, so that we're not separated. Like, every generation is separated from the generation before it. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. That way they can indoctrinate. And we've got to bring those people back together again so that we're all on the same board.
They're the masters at creating divisions in our society, Ron. And, you know, that's something I took a walk one day in the woods, and I sat there for an hour just thinking about all the different divisions that are in our society that keep us from talking to each other, that they don't look like a division on the surface. There's just something small. But in the end game is that they are another form of division. And we, unfortunately, as a society, if we look at other cultures in the world right now, and we could use the Muslim culture for an example, when they get together now, they have meetings. There's, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 of them that get together, and they basically are all on the same page. Well, when was the last time you ever saw something like that in Western civilization? That, you know, we are divided by design, man. This just didn't happen overnight. Didn't happen overnight, and now you really see the end result of divisions in society, where people can't get together and share a common bond, identifying an enemy, because that's basically what it comes down to. We got to put our differences aside and focus on the one common thing that we should all be focusing on, and that's these people that are turning our world upside down.
Well, that's why I enjoyed talking to Kenny from Nigeria today so much. Because the similarities, what's going on there and here, are there's so many similarities, it's nuts, you know. And Nigeria now is run by Muslims.
Yeah, and, about 80%, right?
No, it's about 50-50.
Okay.
And, you know, he said Nigeria used to be a beautiful country, and now it's a hellhole, right? And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, if I wanted to sponsor a Muslim to come over here, and said I was a Christian, they'd bring the family over. But Kenny's a Christian. I said, if I wanted to bring you and your family over because you're having a hard time, they wouldn't let me.
Imagine that.
You're not allowed, you know.
You don't fit the agenda.
They're really struggling over there because there's no money coming. He said all the money that gets sent to Nigeria just goes in the pockets of the politicians and that. And he said the people here are starving to death. He said we've got people dying all over the place from starvation now.
That's one of the things.
We really don't have this COVID-19 here. And I said, I know, I read some numbers and it's really tiny. And if it even exists.
Let's talk about that one for a few minutes, Ron, because.
But they locked the people down. He said, if you're not a Muslim, you can't get a job in Nigeria.
But what we've seen here in the last week, the reports now, I'm really trying to make sure that this information I'm getting is correct. But everything I'm hearing and reading and understand, and many, many doctors coming forward, the numbers that we were originally led to believe this virus was going to create, the chaos in our society that we were led to believe the first couple weeks that was going to create in our society, when all the businesses decided they had to shut down, that this was the worst thing since the bubonic plague, that there's going to be people dropping in the street. Well, those models are just being blown right out of the water right now, completely blown out of the water. But anybody that's really looking at it, Ron, will understand that this is just a huge, huge scam being played on us. Sure, the virus has got some potential to harm people, but it seems that the only people it really harms are people 60 to 65 and older, and especially if you've had previous respiratory problems. That seems to be the group that this virus really seems to be affecting. The rest of the population, we should all be walking around just business as usual, because it's no more dangerous than a common cold or the flu virus, which has way more knockdown power, according to what I've read. And I'm going to the CDC, and I'm going to reputable sources for all this information. If the mainstream media started putting this out, Ron, then there'd be people going on the street and screaming at their government right now for locking us down for absolutely not a sufficient sufficient enough reason for what they've done to society. And we know it's not about the virus at all. It's about control.
It's about creating a crisis.
Of course, chaos. Right? Chaos.
And while everybody's caught up in this fake crisis, they're moving their agendas forward.
Don't look over here.
That's all it's about. Now, you know, when you said modeling, Barry, you know, I looked at as soon as I heard they were using modeling method to try to figure out, you know, the actual problem with this virus.
Yep.
You know, as soon as I heard that modeling, it just took me back to global warming. You know, we do models and it says this and it says that. Well, it's never happened and ain't going to happen. It's just another crisis that's created to mess with people's heads and to fear them and to get them to consent to what these people want, which is total control over every aspect of your life and all resources on the planet. So, yeah. The idea of crushing our economy here is to bring in that universal basic income. If we allow that, we're screwed.
Yeah, and they're also going to collapse the dollar. The way we know it right now, I do not believe the dollar will exist much more.
The idea is to bring in a total digital income.
Of course.
And no money, and they control everything.
They all know when you go to the bathroom, Ron. I've said it many times. And how many pieces of toilet paper you use. Oh, toilet paper is a pretty valuable commodity right now, by the way. I'm selling rolls for $15 a piece. If you know anybody who wants a couple, I've got a few extras. Just privately message me privately.
You know, it's
a joke, toilet paper apocalypse.
Well, I told you, I was at the grocery store the other day the owner of the store, I didn't know he was the owner, come up and started giving me a hard time because I went to the fast checkout. He's only had a few loaves of bread. And he's telling me I had to go back to this super long lineup, right? And I go, no, I'm going to the 8 items or less, and everybody in that lineup has way more than 8 items. So why am I going to stand at the end of the line? Well, then I'll call you. Well, I'm already standing here, right? And there's nobody at the till. So I could just walk through there and pay for my bread and be gone. Well, you got to do what I say. Why? Right? Why? You got this authoritarian bullshit going on, right? So, you know, this went on for a while, and he told me to put my basket down and leave the store. And I go, what are you, nuts? Just let me go pay for my bread and get out of here. And he kept rattling away, so.
Well, we see this affecting a lot of people.
The basket, I think, ended up in the cauliflower or somewhere over there.
Well, we see a lot of people, you know, taking this and really running with as far as their egos the power grabs and everything else they're doing, you know.
I'm not docile like the rest of the Canadians are so docile. It's absolutely.
Well, I didn't get to do this yesterday, Ron, but today, because I didn't have my guy with the camera yesterday, I'm going into the store after this is over today, and I'm going to put on a hazmat suit and a Scott pack, and I'm going to walk into the grocery store, and I'm going to put a big sign. I was going to do this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to do it. We're going to do it today just to kind of point out to society the hypocrisy of what they're doing right now. I'm going to have a big sign on my chest that says, if you come within 6 feet of me, I am going to call the RCMP, have you arrested immediately, and I'm going to be wearing a hazmat suit and a Scott pack, and I'm going in to buy a couple loaves of bread. We're going to video it and see if we can get a few less.
Well, I was thinking
this is what we're doing. I'm doing this as soon as the show's over today. The show's over at 4 o'clock. My buddy's coming in with a camera, and he's going to get it on video, and we're going to put it up on YouTube. Yeah, we're going to video this.
Oh,
and we're
going
to put it up on YouTube. I'm going to put it up, and I'll send you a copy.
You're
going to laugh at the stupidity of this.
No, it'll be perfect because I was thinking of just getting a mask and a snorkel and go wandering around the store. But you know, here's your 6 foot distancing nonsense, right? I phoned the cop showed up at the house and wouldn't identify themselves. And I opened a window and I figured they came from the grocery store. So, I'm asking them what they're doing here. And he comes over, he's about a foot and a half away from me. And throws an envelope through the window, and then they take off. And so I was talking to the sergeant on the phone, and I says, you know, when did the cops become postal workers? Okay, there's no charges laid, there's no nothing laid. There's just a notice that the owner says that he can charge me for trespass if I come back to the store. And so they're just the postal workers now. And I said, also, I would like the two policemen that were here. I want their names. They wouldn't give me their names. I want them charged for breaking the distancing law, right? Because they were within a foot and a half of me. And I love the police because they're such dicks. Wow. I don't really think that's a law. Well, they're running around giving people tickets, you know?
Yep.
So if it's not a law, then why have they got everybody standing that far apart in the grocery store, in the lineup?
It's only a law if you're a citizen, okay? There's two sets of laws in this country.
Well, I know. It's absolute ridiculousness.
It is.
But the people
allowing this to go on is what
I know. That's the whole problem. And as I keep telling people, and if there's people listening, please understand this, okay? You were put in the public school system, which was created for a purpose, okay? And from kindergarten to grade 12, that's 13 years of you being taught not to challenge or question your teacher or the principal or the vice principal. And when you come out of school, that is so ingrained in your head that you just remain in the childlike mental state. So these authorities can tell you any damn thing they want, and you will bow down to it. It's absolutely ridiculous. But there is a simple little two-letter word that they taught you never to use, and that is no. And it's no different than when my grade 5 or whatever teacher, grade 6 teacher, gave me a detention. And at the end of the day, we're leaving the class, and I'm called back, and she says, you got to stay here. Why? Well, I gave you a detention, so you have to stay after school. No, I don't. Well, yeah, you do. No, I don't. School starts at this time. It ends at this time. Okay? You have no authority after school ends. None.
That probably just knocked her for a loop. What? You're talking back to me? What?
Her jaw just hit the ground, man. She's just sitting there staring at me in total awe, going, what? You know, and I mean, this is people do not understand how powerful that simple little two-letter word is. And all we have to do as a society is say no. That's really all that has to be done.
Well, if there was ever a time in society where civil disobedience was the order of the day, this is the time, Ron, because like you said, no is a very powerful word. And unfortunately, most people in our society don't know how to use that word. That we have a lot of power. Well, we have a lot of power if we use it, and folks just don't get it. That they're so. So the one virus we have to get rid of in society is the fear virus, and it is their biggest weapon, Ron. It has been for years and years and years. They know how to implement it in society, and they know how that society is going to react. You know, and what did they see this year? You know, the way I see this whole coronavirus right now, you know, people think that when this is all over, that things are just going to go back to normal and life is going to be the way it was before. Well, you know, we've given them a response to this virus that they really kind of are sitting back and laughing about at this particular point, that society is so ready to give up their freedoms to protect themselves against something that they haven't really looked into themselves, that they're taking what the government tells them as fact, accepting that and allowing their lives to be turned upside down. We've got to get it through to people that the government is not our friends. Period. Well,
Zabrinsky said, or Brzezinski, whatever his name
was. Sal Zelensky?
From
the Rules for Radicals?
He said it absolutely perfect. He said it'll take 2.5 to 3 generations to basically turn people into mutton heads, and then we do whatever we want with them. And that's where we are now, and we got to get it turned around.
If you read the Rule for Radicals, Ron, and I haven't read it all, but I read a little bit of his book just to see what he was saying. It is just a description exactly of what's going on in our society today.
Absolutely.
And really, folks, if you want to get blown away, look what Sal Zelensky wrote in this book, and then look at the people that he was a mentor to, and look at those people's position in society today. And if you start doing that, you'll go, wow. There's another coincidence, Ron. It's just the age of coincidences that we live in. But there sure is a lot out there. And how they connect, man. It's unbelievable. You know,
back in the 50s with the Rees Commission, when they were to find out what the tax-exempt foundations were doing, Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie at the time. Now there's a gazillion of them. But, you know, they said they were charged with Sovietizing America, which means the West. And it's not really about Sovietization because it is and it isn't. It's more fascism. Because once the Soviet Union fell, and I watched a really good video from a guy some years back who had been in the Soviet Union prior to the fall of the Iron Curtain, and then he went back afterwards. And what he found was that it had actually gotten worse, not better. Because what happened was that the business and the politicians merged. And that's exactly what... what's his name? Anyways, Mussolini said, I think it was Mussolini, said that fascism is merging of business and government. And that's exactly what went on in Russia. And that's exactly what's going on here now. So, you know, they have all sold their souls for money, and they're merging with the businesses who are going to control everything. Mm. And we can't allow that to happen. We have no reason to let it happen. I know, Barry, I don't know if there's any homeless people in where you live, but, you know, all the cities, you know, I lived in Calgary and Edmonton, Vancouver and Victoria and that. When I see pictures of all these homeless people in those cities that used to be so vibrant and everybody was doing well. And now when I see that, you know, we have a huge problem.
Yeah, what has changed? What has changed?
Well, they changed.
A lot of things have changed. Well, yeah, Ron, I'm putting that question forward as I mean, there's so much has changed that has caused us to get to where we are right now. And there's no reason in the world we should have one homeless person in Canada. That our country has so much resource-based wealth that we blow just about every other country in the world right out of the water. We are the richest country based on resources in the world. And so why are we taxed more than any country in the world? Why are we two checks away or one paycheck away from bankruptcy? Most of our country and our country is suffering so much economically. Well, where is all that money going?
Well,
where it's going.
Well, right. They let the taxes slide on the international companies.
Of course, and give it to us.
They moved the tax system over to us.
Well, the object is, of course, to destroy the middle class, and they're doing a great job. Of course.
Crush them.
It's all part of the Communist Manifesto. But people they don't take time to read that stuff. And I'm not a reader. I'm not wrong, but I read a little bit of each, and I make myself do that because I really have a hard time doing that, quite honest. I do. I like watching videos on stuff. I like watching videos and stuff where I can comprehend information, but to sit and read it's tough for me. But a couple times I've made myself do it because I really kind of wanted to get a gist of what they were saying. And it's a mirror of what's going on, buddy.
I think I must get paid. You know, I must get sent at least 30 videos a day, and it's very rarely that I'll ever watch one. You know, I want to see what they wrote down because they wrote everything down. And all you got to do is read it. Mm. And I find that I find it better because it's their information, not somebody that made a video information, right?
Yeah, I get the same thing. I get tons and tons sent to me every day, and I'll glance at them. And some of them I will, if it strikes my interest, I'll watch, and I'll try and find out how much there is to the video. And if it seems to be factual and it seems to be information that I can check out, a lot of it I like to watch. But I'm not much of a reader, Ron. So, you know, some of us can read, some of us can't. I'm just telling you something I'm not great at.
Well, I don't know. I was reading. I was reading about democracy in Marxism. And it was really interesting because it's exactly what's going on here today. And it is about the end of nation states, which is what they're in the process of doing. It was really interesting, because people don't seem to understand. I don't know why they don't understand. I think that's the biggest problem that we have, is why can't people understand what is right in front of their freaking faces? I don't understand that. You know?
Yeah, me neither. I ask myself that question every day, Ron.
Because
it's so obvious. If you just take a little look at what's going on, it really is pretty obvious what their intentions are. And to me, I just don't understand why people, you know, why that isn't a major rallying cry in somebody's heart when we realize that they're trying to destroy everything that we love in life. They're trying to take away from us, and we're not doing anything about it. And if we don't do something about it, and we just let this continue to go, then our children are really going to pay the price. And that's kind of what motivates me every day, my friend.
Well, that's why I write that almost every day, and that is that we have a duty to those who come after us, plain and simple.
Absolutely. It's not a choice.
Don't blame the politicians. Don't blame the media. Okay? It's our fault. Okay? Because we allowed ourselves to get suckered for decades and decades and decades.
Well, bad things happen when good men do.
We accepted their lies and their propaganda as truth. And so the position we're in now is not the fault of those who put us in this position. It's our fault for not standing up a long time ago.
I agree. We've allowed this to happen, and now we see the results. And it's it's you give these guys an inch, and they're going to take a mile. And they've seen it happen over and over again in society. They take an inch, we give them a mile. They take another inch, we give them a mile. But are they going to stop? They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop until they reach their end game, their objective. So it's up to us right now to stop this. And if we don't, man, I tell you, what's coming for our kids, Ron? I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. I wouldn't. Because we know what's coming. You and me, we kind of got a pretty good idea what kind of a society that would be. I mean, do we all want to be lining up every day and putting our hands up and going, Heil Justin, or Heil Mr. Trump? You know, do we want that kind of society? Well, that's where we're going right now.
Well,
and it seems to be going at light speed, ramping up.
I started up another construction company, but I can't do anything because I can't. You can't go anywhere, and you can't do anything. Because one of the things I really want to happen is I want one of these government people to come up and tell me that I don't have a sticker on my ladder. I really want that to happen because, you know, I talk to, you know, construction workers that I know, and they go, why do you put up with this crap? Why don't you just say no and tell them go away? Well, then we'll get a ticket. I thought construction guys were tough. Like, you're worse than little girls, you know? Back in the day, my father's day, my grandfather's day, if some idiot came up and said, you have to do this or you have to do that, they just look at him and say,
by whose authority?
Are you here to help us or give us a hard time? Because if you're here to give us a hard time, hit the road. And if you don't hit the road, well, we'll make you part of the road.
But back then, men actually had testicles, Ron. They don't have them anymore. They've been removed in society. Got a bunch of apathetic, spineless people in our society. Our grandfathers are rolling in their graves. They died to give us what we have, and we're letting it go. We're just letting it go away like it's nothing.
I don't get it, Ron. It's irritating, but like I said, I was so happy when I saw those girls with their cars all in a circle, sitting on their trunk lids, you know, and they were 6 feet apart because of cars, but you know, when I was talking to them when I first, I went by them and then I turned around, went back and got talking to them and I said, what are you doing? Well, we're just having a get together. Oh yeah. And then, one of the girls said, are you going to call the police on us? No. You know, I'm here to say how happy I am that you're here. But once, you know, we talked for a fair while, and they were boosted by the time I left that they do have power, right? And they don't need to listen to their stupid teachers and whatnot.
I went in for Tim Hortons this morning, and there was a young guy standing in line, and I engage in conversations all the time with people. And it amazed me as his responses when we started talking about this virus and what's going on in our society. And he echoed what I was saying to him, that this is crazy, that this is being blown right out of proportion, that something's really messed up here and that we shouldn't be taking this. That was a young guy, so that was inspiring. They are starting to pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not stupid. What? They're not stupid. And, you know, this charade that's being played, if people can't see it, then they're really, really stuck in the matrix as far as I'm concerned, because there's so much information contradicting the government's agendas and narratives right now that all you have to do is look, and it's there. And it's coming from very, very reliable sources, right from the CDC themselves, their latest figures on this actual virus, the amount of people that are exposed to it, the amount of people that are actually getting it, the amount of people that recover, the amount of people that are actually dying. And the numbers are just, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely mind-blowing, Barry, compared to what they told us this thing was going to do,
Barry,
and why it implements so much fear. What? Yes, Steve.
What people are dying of is the regular flu that we've gotten for 6,000 years.
I know that. I know that. But they've turned this around and called it COVID-19 and ramped this up and have the mainstream media got the whole world.
They have to. They have to. They have to have they have to have you in mass hysteria mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see the effect it's having right now on society. It's doing exactly what they want it to do. And they're pretty, I mean, these guys are psychopaths, but some of them are pretty smart because they come up with some pretty good scams. Just look at the fact that Obama funded that lab in 2015, gave $3.7 million to the Wuhan lab that was working on these coronaviruses, even though they know back then that these things they had no place in our society, that the potential was to be very, very dangerous. Why are you even doing research on this kind of stuff? And how much truth is there to it? And if everybody was tested right now in society, how many of us actually would show that virus? Well, how many of you had a cold?
That's just another.
How many of you had a cold in the last 20 years? I have.
Well, you know, if you go back to the HIV.
Same thing.
This apparently came from a bat?
That's what they told.
H1N1 came from a sheep? And the HIV came from a monkey? All bull crap all the time. And if you go back and look at the HIV crisis, because this is all, you know, everything they're doing is about depopulation. And, you know, if you look at what took place during the HIV crisis, it brought forward the pushing of gayness and the pride parades and everything else, because the same thing they're doing today. The celebrities and that are out there singing and doing their thing and raising funds, and they did the same thing during HIV. From there we end up with the gay pride parades, and we end up with the drag queens with little children sitting on their laps at the libraries and so on and so forth. Everything they do has a purpose, but society doesn't seem to see because I think they're so hooked up with celebrities and that these celebrities, when they come forward, you know, remember that song back, when was that, in the early 80s or sometime, We Are the World, you know, and you had all these celebrities singing this nonsense, which was just the pushing the UN agendas, and people are so suckered in by these celebrities, they don't seem to understand what's being played out on them. You know, it's all of these things are manufactured for a purpose. And, you know, I'm really, really irritated by this idea that our government is saying, oh, the COVID-19 nonsense, when in fact these people, they're killers. Okay? They're psychopaths. They have. They're totally amoral. Mm-hmm. If they put something forward that kills people, does it bother them? No, because it's moving towards their agendas.
It wouldn't really matter sick. If it's 3,000 or 50,000. Wrong.
Yeah, it's
whatever
totally
it takes
sick.
To perpetrate the agenda.
And why are we putting up with it?
Well, to get people to realize that, though, you know, really to make people understand what we're dealing with in society. I mean, you talk about the Bohemian Grove to somebody, and they go, yeah, right, you're on drugs, man. You tell them about what's going on down there and that, and who participates in these meetings and the rituals they go through, and then you study these rituals. And you study the creation of care and Athena the Owl and all this symbolism that they are involved in. And we see it everywhere in our society. And I'm going to call it what it is. It's satanic. It's evil versus good. And our world is right now, the whole world is gone so immoral in the last two generations that, you know, eventually our society will fall apart. It's done it in the past. It's going to do it again. Any society that has become completely morally corrupt to the point where just about anything goes, we're going to get to a point soon that, you know, sex is going to be allowed on the street because it's your right. Or, you know, pedophilia is now normal, so you can marry a child. I mean, words are going to stop. These guys won't stop until they've completely destroyed anything that's good, what I call good in life. And they're all going, in my books, Ron, well, I know one day they're going to be judged and they'll go where they belong. But until that day comes, we see a lot of chaos right now being created by the state of the morals in our society. Well, our families are falling apart. Our children are going crazy.
Yeah, we're going to stop it. I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to stop it.
Well, we better wrap it up, buddy, because they sure are. Well, they sure are.
You know, I'm having more and more people now, and I had a very big difficult time with that, which was kind of like everything else when I call something out or whatever, and people jump on you. It takes them a while, but to realize that what you're telling them is correct. But, you know, I've been telling people for a long, long time that our forefathers came here to get out from under the Buddha tyranny, and that they came to build us a new house, which is our community. And we all live in our community, which is our house. And our houses have been taken over, and the Buddha tyranny has been put back on the back of our necks. And our local governments are implementing, and have been since 1994, the UN agendas. And the book, the one thing that they sent to the from the Federation of Canadian Municipalities to the local councils and administration, actually, it kind of made me smile when you brought up the word matrix, because in that document on how to implement the agendas without the knowledge or the consent of the people, the word matrix is actually in that document. Mm. That was sent to the councils. Mm. So they have taken control of our house, and we need to take control of our house and get them out of there. And everybody told me for the longest time, right, well, we can't do that. We can't do that. You know, we need to protest or whatever, and protest is a waste of time. And, you know, it's time we roll up our sleeves. You know, if somebody came into your house and took over your house, would you put up with it? No. Well, your community is your house. Why are you putting up with it? So I'm actually now finally getting more and more people agreeing that that is the Achilles heel. It is the only place that we can gain power. You're never going to gain power at the provincial or federal. I don't care what kind of party you start or anything else. You ain't going anywhere. We have to go get our house. Nobody lives at the provincial. Nobody lives at the federal. Everybody lives in the community. And we need to take back our communities. Once we have our communities, once we have control of our communities, then the word no puts a stop to the whole damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going there. Now, I have a friend up north of here who I have never met. But I did talk him into running the election when I told him he had a duty for his grandchild. And he told me he'd run when he was 45 and didn't get in. And he was 65 now, and he had no intentions of running. But I finally talked him into it. And it took him almost a year after the election before he got in. Because they managed to find some dirty stuff that was going on and outed the CAO and one of the counselors which opened the seat. But they still didn't want him in there. They wanted to bring counselors from other places that were experienced. But he finally got in. And now, that was in 2010, and now in 2018, when we had the election, the last municipal election, I was talking to him, and he said, "We finally have control." So they only got five counselors. It's a small place, but he said, "We finally have three people on side, and when they bring UN agenda crap into our community, we just tear it up. Simple as that, because we ain't implementing it." And so that can be done across the country. And, you know, whining and bitching and complaining about Tinkerbell Trudeau or whoever else, or whining about the World Economic Forum or the United Nations or any of this stuff accomplishes absolutely nothing. Okay. And what they do is they keep throwing stuff at you. So people end up in this reaction mode all the time. And not in a positive let's get it done mode, right? They're always caught up and always being dragged around by this reaction nonsense. We need to roll up our sleeves and get to work. Simple as that.
In the same mouthful, people need to know just how serious a situation we're in to get them to be willing to sacrifice and to get involved, right? A lot of people don't really get them. So all I'm saying is that a lot of people don't really realize what's at stake.
No, our job to change the narrative. Barry. Okay? And Barry. The only place that you can really change the narrative is where you live. So I don't know how many counselors are on your council where you live. Probably thinking 7 or 8.
Yep. I think.
But this is how few people it takes, you know, because, you know, I've run in a couple elections for mayor and the first time they made a very long delay and you know, people told me for 2 years after I won the election because I couldn't find nobody that voted for the guy that got in. But they don't want me in because they know I know. And besides, it doesn't matter. If only one gets in, you don't have any power. So simple math is if you have a community, I don't know how many people live where you are, 10,000, 20,000, whatever. So if you use simple math, and the idea is to change the narrative. So if you've got 7 counselors, you run 3 times that number. So you only need 21 people.
Okay.
Then you have the opportunity. See, if one stands up and speaks, then the rest comes at you as conspiracy theorists, bullshit, nonsense, right? And you can't get the narrative changed. Once you have a simple number of 3 times, you have the power to change the narrative. Then you go and you take another 10, 20, 30 people to go and knock on doors with the correct information. And the people are waking, Bear. You know that, and I know that. They, even if they're still asleep, they're still going, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, right? No, I've seen that.
Something is wrong.
I am seeing that.
So now we're in a perfect position to change the narrative.
Well, we have to. If we don't do it now, we're honest
to
get away on.
Run 21 people, the odds on you getting 4 elected are extremely high.
Yep.
Once you have 4, you own the council. Doesn't matter what the mayor says, right? Because he's only got 1 vote or she's only got 1 vote. If you got 7 counselors, you got 4 on side, you control every single vote that comes down. And that's how you say no. We don't need, you know, you get people going, we're going to take 10,000 people in protest. And what are you going to accomplish by that? Absolutely nothing. But people are in such a childlike mindset that they get fearful. Well, I don't know if I could do something like that.
Well,
I'm serious.
The consequences of not doing something like that is what the question should be.
Exactly.
I have a question here in chat, okay, and it's coming from Joan. She wanted me to ask you about the Lisbon Treaty in Ireland. Apparently they voted no, but the second vote it went through. And she's asking you if everything is a falsehood or a lie since then. Do you know about the Lisbon Treaty? I don't. That'd be a new one on me. So
I know it. There's actually a lady with my same last name as me, Carolyn Stevens, out of England, and she actually sent me the Lisbon Treaty. And I'm trying to. I can't. I got so much crap coming at me all the time. But you know, there's all kinds of treaties. But the point is that we are the power, regardless. Okay, we own the power. We just let them go and fiddle around and make these treaties and do this and do that, and then don't pay any attention to it, or we allow them to move these treaties agendas forward without saying no. Mm-hmm. And one community can't do it. You know, we need in this next municipal elections, we need to gear this up and get at least, if we can take over at least 20 or 30 municipal councils, then we have the power that we require. Because the provinces do have the power to pull anybody they want out of the local municipal government. And I've seen it done. I've seen I saw it when they were trying to do the, back in the early 2000s, the amalgamations, one small place said no, and they came in and pulled everybody out and put their people in. So, but as we get people moving forward and as their spines and minds and spirits strengthen, it will snowball. We have to turn it into a fun situation, not a fearful situation, but a fun situation. So, you know, we're putting up, I've bought the website now and I haven't had time to do it. But we got to get on it quick. I want to try and get it up by the end of the month, which is just 4 days away, but, reset in motion. And that's exactly what we do. We just have to reset things back the way they're supposed to be. Simple as that. And we do have the power to do it because we, let's see, how many politicians are there in the country? How many people are in the country? We hold the power.
No. We work for them now, Ron. We work for them. They don't work for us anymore. How did that get flipped around? When we were sleeping, they did it, and we didn't pay attention. And well, bad things always happen when good men do nothing about bad things.
Well, you know, it goes back to that conversation I had with the one of the top guys from the Attorney General's office when, you know, I told him that if you look at this, our forefathers, who were very strong-willed people, you had to be to come over here and hack away and build a community when there was nothing there and you ain't got no power tools. You had to have a will. And as more of our people came over here, our forefathers, they started running into the Hudson's Bay Company, which is the same as the Plymouth Company, the Virginia Company, and the India Company. All chartered companies. They all had their own courts. They all had their own jails. They all had their own police. And when our forefathers started running into these guys, and the guys from the Hudson's Bay Company tell our forefathers what they can and can't do, our forefathers were smart enough. You know, we don't work for you. You have no authority over us. Okay, so take a hike. And that's when they went back to England and said, we understand you started this legislative thing. How's it working? They don't get it. We fooled them. Could we have that? Yeah, we'll send some people over. I mean, the Law Society was here in Canada in 1791, and there was no Canada until 1867. So the lawyers, you know, they that's their job. You know, so when I told the one of the head guys from the Attorney General's office, is if you look at this, Canada is nothing more than a rebranded Hudson's Bay Company.
Corporation.
Yeah. And he 100% agreed with me. Well, yeah. If we're working for the corporation, I don't recall getting hired.
Yeah, and I didn't get invited to any board meetings.
No.
Did you?
So it has no authority whatsoever, and we have to bring our people to understand that we are the power, and we have to be as strong as our forefathers. You know, our forefathers didn't have a problem telling them to suck air and take a hike. They didn't have a problem with that, but they understood. And after so many generations of indoctrination, our people don't understand much of anything anymore. And it's our job to re-educate them and make them strong and understand they have nothing to fear, and that, you know, we have an enemy inside our gates, and we have to deal with it. And we don't have to be violent about it. that doesn't have to happen. You know, we have the power to get hold of our communities. Once we own our communities, it's over. Simple as that. They have no power over you once you own that community. That's your house.
Thanks for coming in again today, Ron. Thanks for coming in again today. Because with this information,
sorry for rattling off like that.
No, this information, people need to hear this because, you know, it makes sense to me, and I've listened to this thought process before, and it really is the way that we can regain our power. And if we don't, the government is gaining power in leaps and bounds. There's going to come a time soon that we won't have an opportunity to fight against this run, based on what I see going on right now and projecting ourselves a couple years down the road. So now's the time to really get involved, guys.
Well,
we're down here the last couple minutes. So I'm going to let you plug your site.
I just want to butt in on him for a second.
Okay.
I've been saying for a very long time, okay, we have an absolute duty to those who come after us
to do this.
Okay? That is our duty.
Exactly.
And we have to stand up to do that duty, right?
I couldn't agree with you more, Ron. Plug your site real quick, and we're going to have to set up.
I have a bunch of stuff on my site, canadiantruths.wordpress.com, or you can just put in Canadian Truths. It'll pop up. I really want people to go look at that wheel from the World Economic Forum and take a look at at all those links on the sidebar and take a boo through some of them. I think if that doesn't wake me up, I don't know what will, right? So I want to thank you for having me on. I want to thank Steve. You got a great producer, by the way.
Yeah, he puts up with me every week, so I appreciate that. And I would be kind of lost without him, so much appreciate what he's doing. And we appreciate you coming in, Ron, and sharing your thoughts always. We'll have you back real soon, buddy. Thanks for coming in today.
You take care, Steve. Take care. And everybody out there, we got to get to work.
We do so. Okay, folks. Thanks again, Ron. And I'm going to take about a 3 or 4 minute break here, and I'm going to be back with Randy Ace. And we're going to have a little chat about prophecies. How's that? Well, welcome back, folks, the second hour. And thanks again to Ron Stevens for coming in. Always enjoy my conversations with Ron, and I'll have him back in the very near future. I travel around the internet a lot, and I listen to people talk, and one of the gentlemen that I did get a chance to listen to talk to, I think it was about a year ago, I first ran into Randy Ace, and I liked what he was saying, and really liked his thoughts. I've actually had a couple conversations with him. This is the first time I've ever been on the air with Randy, and how are you doing, Randy? And I'm going to let people tell people about yourself, and we'll take it from there. But thanks for coming in today, and welcome to the show.
Hey, brother, thank you so much for having me. You know, we're in a time where truth is being more censored than hurt. So anytime you get an opportunity, you know, for God to bring people in your lives, that you get to speak to people that, you know, have that discernment, that have that ability to see and hear, it is a blessing, brother. It is an absolute blessing. So I want to thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no. Every time you do a little chat there. Now you're living in the Dominican Republic, correct?
Yeah, I've been here. I'm in the Dominican Republic. I've been here now for about, I don't know, going on 5 years.
Are you originally from Canada?
Yeah, Toronto, Canada. That's where I'm from.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I remember. I think we talked about that the first time I had a chance to talk with you. So that was probably about a year ago. We had a conversation, and I've seen you on the internet there a couple times. I figured, you know, you're kind of gentleman that I see really just shoots from the hip, and we really need that this particular time in history. That truth is so important right now, because we are in. To say that we're in biblical times would be an understatement, Randy. And things are really, really ramping up, and some interesting developments are going to come in the very near future here. You better be ready for it. I know I am.
Amen to that, brother. Look it. Well, you know, we know the Bible tells us that in end days, you know, God's going to speed up time. He's going to increase the speed of time so that even the elect could survive. Well, if you don't think that the enemy of this world, the God of this world, knows that, then you're underestimating your enemy. For sure he knows. And this is why we're seeing things happening so rapid in these days. He knows.
Yeah. Really, it's just almost at light speed right now, the way we see things develop. When I read Revelations, and I'm not a Bible scholar. I never profess to be a Bible scholar, but I've read Revelations, and I understand what those prophecies say and how it plays out in today's world. It's just absolutely mind-boggling what I see going on as to what the Bible is telling me is going to happen at this particular time in history. It is like it's like reading a newspaper on steroids. It really is. It's so in our face right now, Randy. The things that are happening, they're happening, like you said, very quickly. And I want to tell you, society is going to get blindsided here with some incredible events in the very near future. We look at what this coronavirus did to society, Randy. It's just absolutely insane how this virus and the fear factor of this virus has turned society upside down. One of the things I was talking about the last hour is, you know, I've looked at a lot of the numbers involved with this virus, and these numbers are coming in like crazy now, and they completely contradict the models that the government and the World Health Organization led us to believe the first couple weeks that this was in the news. And now we see these the actual numbers not even coming close. To me, this is a giant charade. What are your feelings on this? And how do you see this being used?
Yeah, it's a puppet show, bro. Look at me. They never let a good crisis go to waste, that's for sure. And, you know, when you talk about the World Health Organization, who? Yeah, you better ask who. You better. That's exactly what you need to do. You need to find out who. Because they're telling you right there, it's about a who. It's not about a what. And the deeper you go down that rabbit hole, the deeper you start to really look at what's happening in this world, you know, not just now, but, you know, leading into this, you really begin to understand that this world is greatly deceived. You know, my Bible says that the God of this world, the small g God, Satan, is a great deceiver, and that he has blinded the world and deceived the world. And this coronavirus, for me, it's about that mask. That mask is a ritual. And people think that the mask is covering their mouth, but in reality, what it's doing is it's exposing those that have the covering of the eyes. Mm. People can't see. People simply can't see in these days, bro. They can't. You're witnessing the separation of the wheat and the chaff. And those people that are walking around in fear and that really believe what is coming off their, you know, their fake news networks, those are the chaff, bro. God is showing us just exactly who can't see and who can't.
Yeah, and millions will be led astray, Randy, and my Bible tells me that. The great deceiver, the power that he's going to have. You know, this is funny. One of the conversations I have with a gentleman, a friend of mine that's in the States, and he's a gentleman that I have a great deal of respect for as far as intelligence and things that are going on and little toys that they have set aside to use on society when it gets to this particular point that I think we're at. And that's, of course, this hologram technology. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist will be able to perform miracles and deceive millions. And we ask ourselves, well, how can you do that? And I say, well, look what they can do with hologram technology and what they can actually make people believe, that the eye makes them believe. Just one of the things I kind of looked at and how that all ties into what I see is, you know, biblical prophecy that's really coming true at this particular time. It was pretty interesting conversation.
It comes down to the lesser magic and the greater magic. You know, the lesser magic is the manipulation of language, the manipulation of entertainment, which entertainment means to enter, to go in. Taint means to sustain, detain, contain, retain, to hold, and ment is the mind. So entertainment means to enter and hold the mind. That's a lesser magic. And then, you know, you start looking into Satanism and you start looking at the greater magic. And the greater magic is, you know, the possession of spirit. This world has two very, very, very strong spirits. One is the spirit that comes from our creator God, which is a spirit in the image of love, kindness, goodness, truth. And then there's the other spirit of which comes in the image of the God of this world, which would be the polar opposite of the God that we serve. And so, you know, he's going to use magic in order to manipulate, blind, and deceive the world. And he has done a very good job at it. You know, every time you hear an earthquake, and when I hear an earthquake, brother, I feel like it's hell stretching because Lucifer is gaining more souls. I feel like an earthquake is nothing more than hell opening up and stretching to be able to, you know, create more space for those that are going there. And it's going to be a lot of people. You know, when you think about, you know, the ark, when you think about Noah, he got ridiculed, mocked, insulted, made fun of, spit at. He was called everything in the book right up until it started raining. Now, if you understand the book of Noah, then you understand that it hadn't rained for almost 200 years. The whole process of time that he was building that ark, there was no rain. So everybody was like, oh, what are you talking about, a fraud? Are you crazy? You must be crazy. No, you're crazy. And they mocked and insulted him right up until that door closed and it started raining. And what I'm saying is that on that ark, there were only eight people. There were more animals than people. You know, we need to resonate with that. We need to really let that sink in. There was more animals than people. Think about that. And Jesus Christ is the second ark. He is the second ark. And if you do not find yourself in the second ark, if you are not in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, with Christ, in that he is within you, and that door closes and it starts raining, it's too late. And I really believe that that time is coming. We're seeing right now the separating of the wheat and the chaff. There are people that just can't hear the truth. They can't hear it. They don't want it. They can't receive it. They don't know what it is. They're so addicted to the deceptions of this world that when it comes right down to it, they're not willing to give up the deceptions to get right with Christ.
Well, you know, I believe that the Antichrist is going to make himself known here very, very quickly. It kind of fits into the timelines that I'm watching right now. So I'm watching for that event to unfold very quickly. I believe that's coming very, very shortly. I believe that the one world government, that a one world currency is going to be all part of the agenda that's coming down the tubes, and the mark of the beast, and all karmas. The Bible tells me that all karmas will have to be done. If you don't have this mark, that you will not be able to participate in society. Well, if somebody had said that 30 years ago, Randy, you know, you'd kind of think, well, how could that ever happen? Then you look at what's going on in the world today, how certain groups of people control all the money in this planet, that all our finances are actually controlled by a group of maybe 8 or 10 families own a majority of the wealth on the planet. So they control the people through the currency. And that, to me, is what I think is going to be one of the biggest control mechanisms that play into biblical prophecy, is the collapse of the dollar, the effect on society. You're going to see people running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And you know, and I know, when people are put into a state of chaos, they'll basically accept any kind of solution to get rid of the scream in their brain. You know, so they're going to play on that.
Yeah, they're already submitting, brother. You see the submission right now. I mean, it is so bizarre to watch humanity, you know, fall. And just, it's just, you know, they show their weakness. They show their lack of courage. They show their inability to see through anything. And the people at the top have nothing but disdain for humanity. Make no mistake about it. You know, the 13 bloodlines that are at the very top of this pyramid, which, you know, is obviously, you know, under the control of the great deceiver, the god of this world. They get all of their instructions from him. And then that instruction is trickled down to the next levels, the next levels, the next levels, the next levels. And the further down you go, the more blind the levels become. So there are a lot of people that are, you know, I hate when people say, you know, the 1%. Look, it's not 1% running this world. The Satanists in this world are by far greater numbers than Christian, greater numbers than Muslim, greater numbers than Hindu. The greatest number of religious people in this world, of people that serve a spirit, are those that serve Satan in the satanic realm. And that's why you have, you know, the top people in government, the top people in entertainment, the top people in medical, the top people in business, the top people in every possible, from military to police to the judicial system. These people already know who they're serving. So when they say the 1%, no, that 1% is just the 13 bloodlines at the very top of the pyramid. But as you go down to the next level and the next level, there are top people that have sold their souls and know exactly who it is that they're serving. So the vast number that we are at war against is much greater than just 1%. This world is under the dominion of Satan, period, not period. And the only way that you ever get out of that is if you accept Christ fully and he reveals himself to you, and that you are in Christ, for Christ, by Christ, and with Christ. These people know exactly what they're doing, bro. It's not 1%. There is a very big number of people that consciously serve Satan in this world.
Yeah, well, we see it in a lot of aspects of our society, right? You look at the entertainment industry. How many of them have sold their souls to the devil, and they openly admit it? I mean, it's everywhere. And it is really, well, the Bible tells us at this particular time in history, he is going to have incredible power, and he will be able to deceive and mislead millions. You look at what the Pope's role is now, and how he's playing into prophecy. it's just amazing what's going on. But well, we know, Randy, that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Okay? We know
it's going to get worse for those of which whom are.
I'm not worried about that. Go ahead.
I'm not worried. I suffer no fear, Paul. He that is in me is greater than he that is in this world. Look, and let me just tell you my life story so that you know your audience and you can get a better understanding. When I was 4 years old, I witnessed my mother kill my father in front of me. And I ended up, my brother and I ended up in an orphanage. And for the 2 years that she stood trial for killing my father, she got acquitted. I was still in that home. She ended up meeting another man when she got out who looked identical to my father. They fell in love. They were, you know, getting ready to get married and bring me and my brother home. And they got drunk one night and she took his life too. And she ended up killing him. And I ended up in homes my entire life and on the streets. So, you know, I know this about my Lord. My Lord told me, look, I saved the brokenhearted. And if your heart isn't broken as a result of the things that you've gone through and what you're witnessing in and of this world, then you need to check your salvation out with fear and trembling, because God saves those that have a broken heart. And if you're witnessing anything in truth in these days and it doesn't disturb you, it doesn't break your heart, then that's very, very sad. And my prayers go out to you, because you need to really understand just how broken this world is. It is broken beyond human belief.
Yeah, it is, Ron. And to me, I can't understand. And part of me can understand, but I really can't understand these people that dwell in the dark. Because me, I love my children. I love people. I don't want to see anybody suffer. I don't want to see anybody hurt. I want to see everybody enjoy a good life on this planet. But we have these people that are right from the pits of hell is where they're from. I don't know how else to describe them, because that's, you know, where else would these people come from? Because they don't have a heart. That, you know, they would shoot your child, stand in front of you and cut your child's head off, and it wouldn't even fizz on him. It would be like stepping on an ant. You know, that's what we're dealing with. And it's really hard for me to understand that. It really is. But it's not, because he tells me about this. He tells me that we're going to be dealing with evil beyond what we can comprehend as normal people. It's all in our face right now, and it is growing at light speed. It really is. I mean, we got a society now that'll accept drag queens coming into libraries and teaching our kids. We'll have a society where there was a mainstream magazine had a 10-year-old transvestite kid who calls himself a girl posing nude with a male on the front page of a mainstream magazine. That's how far we have sunk, Ron. And you know and I know that it's almost at the bottom right now, but that's all talked about. It's all talked about to us. So I'm ready.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, absolutely. Bro. And look, this is the new world. This is they're introducing it. And I've said it before, you know, in many, you know, YouTube videos I do or on Facebook, they're spoon feeding people that. And people are accepting spoonfuls of deceit and the spoonfuls of the New World Order, because when it comes time for the switch, because that's what they're doing. I said this as soon as this coronavirus started. I said they're going for it. They're going for it. That's what you're witnessing right now. They're going for it.
Yeah.
And for sure, that's what they're doing. And on the other end of this, they're going to take people right to the edge. That's why they keep saying they got to flatten the curve, which is another mockery on flat Earth. But they're going to take you right to the edge where you can't take a second more of it. And, you know, when you bring people to that point, when they can't take one more second of it, you can offer them anything. They'll take anything to have what they thought were their lives back. What they don't understand is when they come back out of this into this new world, it's not going to be even close to what it was. But most of them won't remember anyways. They won't remember.
Oh, and a lot of them are willing to give up their freedoms for the perceived security that the government offers them. I mean, what better example can we see of that than 9/11 and that event and the wound that created in society and the fact that we're still living with that lie. As a public, as a general population, we're still allowing that lie to be lived to this day today. It just shows you the power of mind control. You got to realize, Ron, people are programmed right from the time they're born. It is, you know, the programming is very effective. You see the power of mind control, how people have been programmed, the way they think. To break that program, I find that one of the biggest problems I have with people. It really is a tough one to get around when you try to teach them or tell them that everything they've ever learned in their life is a lie. They really have a hard time accepting that, but that's the truth. And now we find ourselves at this point in history where I am just sitting back, and it's exciting because I know how the timeline has been told to me and what's going to come. It's scary. It breaks my heart to see the people that are going to suffer, the millions of children that are suffering. That breaks my heart. But I also know that there's nothing I can do about that man was given a free will. and I have to accept that. A lot of questions I had earlier in my life about why God would allow this to go on in our world. Why would he allow children to suffer? Well, it comes back to what I just said. He gave man a free will, and we live and die by what we, the choices we make in our lives. And unfortunately, there's a lot of evil people in this world, Ron.
Well, yeah, I think about the angels that that chose to follow Satan, that chose to follow Lucifer. A third of the angels chose to follow Lucifer. So the angels have free will as well. And so our free will is going to make our decision as to who it is that we want to spend eternity with. And, you know, and people say to me all the time, well, I'm a good person. I do this. I do that. You know, I pay my taxes. I've never been to jail. I've never hurt anybody. Why would God want me to go to jail? I'm like, look, he loves you too much to force you to spend eternity with him. If you don't want to spend eternity with him, he's not going to force you. So this is all about you choosing your eternal faith. And at the end of the day, people are going to make that choice. And whether they make it out of ignorance or not, to God, a choice is choice. Only here in this realm do we look at ignorance as a factor in somebody's choice. God looks at your heart. Your heart is what makes that choice. And so we live in a world right now where people's hearts are being exposed. And that's just what it is. The wheat and the chaff are being exposed in these days.
It definitely is crazy times, isn't it? I mean, just look what's happened here in the last 3 months, Randy. It's just so like somebody flicked a switch that we went into a twilight zone. I fell asleep and the world changed overnight. And I see what that's doing to people, man. It's really right across the board right now. Families are at each other's throats. Men and women are at each other's throats because they're being locked up in their houses and their lives are being affected. And man, suicides are right through the roof all of a sudden in Canada. Crime is all of a sudden right through the roof. Yeah, it's just, you can't, but you don't hear about this on mainstream. They haven't even, they've not a mention of that on mainstream media.
Well, they mention the suicides. Let's call them coronavirus.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's everything. Anybody dies in the hospital now, it's coronavirus. Because they're being told that they got to keep this agenda going. I mean, if you look at the hospitals, and there's people going to hospitals all across this country right now, Randy, and they're not finding people in these hospitals. All these triages that were set up in the States. Well, I'm glad there's people out there actually doing the groundwork to report this, because they set up multiple triages outside hospitals. They were preparing for thousands and thousands of people laying on their backs and dying, and it has not even come close to materializing that the whole scam is now starting to be exposed. And if this doesn't get people mad, Randy, I don't know what to say. I really don't. Because the whole thing is a scam, as far as I'm concerned. But it has done, it's done exactly what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, my focus right now is on the fear. And to me, it matters not. You know, I mean, they put a banana to the back of the head of humanity and said, okay, give up everything. And, you know, most people didn't have the courage to look back and see that it was a banana. It wasn't even a gun. But, you know, a lot of people are going to wake up, bro. For me, it's more about dealing with the people's fear right now, because people really are so indoctrinated into their fear and into their delusion of what they believe this really is. When in fact, if you did any research, you'd be able to go, wait a second, this ain't feeling right. This doesn't feel honest. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of people are beginning to do that now. A lot of people are going, wait a second, this doesn't seem honest. What's really going on? And don't ever give people the desire to look past the curtain. Because if you do, there's going to be a plethora of people that are going to come out the other end going, wait a second. Was I duped? Have I been lied to? Have I been deceived? Where have I heard that word, the world is greatly deceived? Where have I heard that before? You open up my Bible, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are going to come to the Lord, bro. I thoroughly believe in the end, God wins, and we know this.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, Randy. It's just what the human race is going to go through before we get to that point. And like I said, I'm not a scholar, but I've studied it, and I know that we're getting into a time of sorrows right now. I believe that we're going to see the Antichrist play his role. I believe all that's going to happen in my lifetime, or hopefully I get to see it.
You're here to witness it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I'm 65 now, Randy, so I think I hope I got another 20 years left. I don't know. I'm not in charge of that department. But
I don't want another 20 minutes, but
But we have a mission while we're here. We're here for a reason, Randy.
Yeah, like I'm here. Yeah, for sure, bro. We have purpose, but you got to connect to your purpose. A lot of people don't understand, and I got to try to explain, you know, some things to some people because they just, you know, they miss because, unfortunately, the men and women standing at the pulpit in most church buildings today are only preaching in the respects of tickling ears. They're not trying to give anybody the truth. And so I had a friend of mine. He committed murder in America. He called me after doing 10 or 15 years. He got a hold of me. And he was like, "Oh, my God, Rand, I looked at your Facebook. You're a man of God." I go, "Yeah, I'm a man of God." And he goes, "So am I." I go, "Oh, wow, how amazing is that?" He says, "Yeah, I'm Muslim." I said, "Oh, wrong God." And so, you know, we started talking. And he says to me, he says, "Well, why do you believe in Jesus?" I said, "Well, you got a problem with Jesus?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Of course, everybody does." I said, "Well, what's your problem?" He said, "Well, I don't understand. If he's God in the flesh and he's on the cross, why is he yelling out, 'Father, where are you? Why have you forsaken me?'" I had to explain to him that he was always at one with the Father. If you saw him, you saw the Father. He was at one with the Father, meaning that he had never sinned and his spirit was completely yoked to the Father who sits in heaven. And the moment when he yells out on the cross, "Father, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me?" If you read your Bible, you understand that sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. And you cannot be born again but through the Spirit. You can't be born again in the flesh. So that means your spirit is dead. So sin kills the spirit. When Jesus yells out to the Father, "Where are you? Why have you forsaken me?" What he's saying is, I'm not at one with you anymore, which means that was the second he took on the sins of the world, because sin separates us from God. So as I explained this to my friend, he just gasped, and he was like, "Oh, my gosh. Nobody's ever explained that to me like that. Wow. Wow, I get it." Well, now he's a beautiful born-again Christian, married to a beautiful Christian woman, and living a wonderful life. And so, you know, sometimes you just have to understand the Word of God in a deeper, more meaningful way in order to get past the religious aspect that's being taught in churches or the ear tickling that never prepares you for the truth or the world that we live in.
So the coronavirus, did it impact the Dominican Republic? Was there a lot of hype down there about this? And people?
Yeah, they're all afraid, except today you can research this. A man walked from one end of the island to the other with a cross. He says he's a prophet, that God told him to carry a cross across the island and tell people that the coronavirus is going to die, I think, tomorrow, he says. So he carried a cross all the way across the island. He's got thousands of people following him. Just go to research coronavirus prophet Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic. You'll see it. He's in Puerto Plata right now with thousands of people following him. It's crazy.
Well, how easy is it to deceive people, eh?
I mean, meanwhile, if he was a man of God, he would know the virus wasn't even real.
Well, no, exactly. But, of course, he's playing off that, and he's got people believing him. I mean, we just look at all the false prophets in the world. Look at guys like, what's his name, Joel Osteen, you know, flying around in his $50 million Learjet and his $17 million home, telling people to send him money, and they'll get to heaven. I mean, send me money, and you'll be blessed. Send me $50, and you're going to get a check in the mail for $35,000. People gobble
their best life now. Live your best life now.
Live your best life now, and we're all supposed to be multimillionaires. And the prosperity preaching I see going on in churches just makes me sick, because that's not what my Bible tells me. Buddy.
No, you know what? I live on minimal means over here in the Dominican Republic. So I don't have it. I got nothing, but I'm okay. Look it. I got the Word of God. To me, there's nothing more valuable. I got salvation. You can't beat that. I've got the truth in a world greatly to see. What could compare to that? A Mercedes-Benz? A 10-bedroom house? A swimming pool? An iPhone? Nothing compared to what I have. I have something that goes with me. I don't have something that stays here when I leave.
Exactly. Well said, Randy. You're taking the words out of my mouth, man. No, really, this is just a fleeting moment in time, man. A grain of salt in the 17 million mile long beach is what this time is. And
it's the beginning of eternity.
You know, one of the things I always had a hard time really trying to understand is eternity and infinity and beyond. And we got to realize that our brains are very small and the universe is a very big place and we'll never be able to comprehend it. But I believe one day we will know that he'll expose to us exactly those kind of questions. I always found that kind of an interesting question growing up, and it's still one that I can't answer, but I don't have the brain capacity or the knowledge to answer that question. but it's neither one that stumps people, man. How do you explain eternity?
Hey, no, Jesus said the disciples. Jesus told the disciples, "You don't even know the world you live in. How can I possibly tell you about the things in heaven?"
Yeah, very well. That's a good statement.
So people are just lost, man. You got people here that say, "I looked for God." I go, "Did you? Where'd you look? In the closet? All you did was take a thimble full of water out of the Atlantic Ocean, look into the water in the thimble, and go, 'Yeah, there's no God.'" You have to look at that. Maybe it's going to take you to get through that whole ocean to locate God, to find God in your heart. What's your learning curve? What's your spiritual learning curve? Maybe your spiritual learning curve is so far that you haven't got the spiritual IQ to be able to get past that curve. But the truth of the matter is that God is going to reveal himself to you anyways. He already has. In Romans, it says, you know, that he has revealed himself to the world and we are without excuse. So you're not going to go up to God in judgment and say, "Yeah, well, I looked for you. I couldn't find you." He's going to say, no. You know I showed you. You know. You're without excuse.
No, there's no excuses when you're at that point. But it's way past the point of making excuses because there is no excuse. We know the truth.
No excuse. And there's enough.
Can't talk your way out of that one.
No, bro. I got a big YouTube channel, Flat Out Elected. And, you know, I got over 13,000 subscribers. And they're all awake. Every single one of them are awake.
Sorry, I had a conversation with a homosexual gentleman there a couple of weeks ago, and he says, "I'm going to heaven." And boy, oh boy, that opened up quite a conversation, Randy, because a lot of them actually believe they are going to go to heaven. But as far as my Bible tells me, that homosexuality is a absolute abomination in the eyes of God. And they will not. They believe that they're going to heaven, and they're not, my friend. I shouldn't say that because that's not my. I'm just going by what my book tells me. But a lot of them believe they are, and that's.
Like there is no closet in heaven that anybody's coming out in wearing his mother's dress. No, sorry. That's not going to happen. There is no sin in heaven. Period. There's no sin. Period. So you look at it like this, bro. If you have sin within you and it hasn't been forgiven through Christ, if you have not been forgiven, then that sin cannot get through the gate. So it's exactly. Like, I don't care if you have one piece of confetti or 2,000 bags of confetti. You're not getting any of it through. And so unless you are cleansed, cured, and healed by Christ, you're not walking through those gates. He said, "Look, I am the truth and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through me." So you aren't getting through the gates but through Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are healed and forgiven for all sin. And one sin is no greater than the other. The only unforgivable sin is the rejection of the Holy Spirit, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is actually not accepting Christ. So that's the only unforgivable sin. Homosexuality is forgiven, and so is cheating on your wife. That's forgiven, but only through Christ. But for cheating on your wife and homosexuality are no greater than each other. The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So they have to be forgiven of their sin, no differently than we do. But you cannot be forgiven if you are not in Christ, by Christ, for Christ, with Christ, in that he is with you. Jesus said, "Look, many are going to come in his name claiming all the wonderful things he did." You know, they prophesize in his name. They cast out demons. And he's going to spit them out of his mouth like lukewarm water and tell them, "Look, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." This is about him knowing you. If he doesn't know you, you can think you're walking through the gates all day long. It doesn't matter. You might get to those gates and say, "Hey, Jesus, remember me?" And he might look out and go, "Hey, nope, I don't recognize you. Get away from me."
Yeah, I don't know you at all. Those kind of words I never want to hear.
Those are the scariest words in the Bible, bro.
Those are scary words because where you're going ain't a nice place, and you're going to have a lot of people down there that hate your guts, and it's not going to be a good place to go.
So, like, you're not even going to see anybody. You're going to be in a cell, which is going to be like a million miles from each other. You're not going to see another. You're not going to run into your Uncle Bob. You're not going to run into Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson. You're not going to run into Donald Trump. You're not going to run into any of these people. You're going to be in solitude, alone, dealing with every single sin you've ever committed in your face every single day and being mocked and tormented by demons 24 hours a day for eternity. That's what hell is.
Eternity sounds like a very long time, Randy.
It sounds like a wonderfully long time if you're at the feet of the Father. Because the guy saying to people, "Look at Matt, Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Well, the God of this world is the deceiver. So the people in this world worship deception. That's what they worship, a full deception worship. We are living in a satanic ritual in this world. It's a satanic ritual. And satanic rituals within rituals. This mask-wearing thing is a ritual. The ice bucket challenge was a ritual. All of these rituals within this satanic ritual, of which Satan doesn't care about your soul. He didn't care about money. He didn't care about power. He covets worship. So it's your worship that he's looking for. He gets it either through your celebrities and your idols, or he gets it directly from you. He doesn't care how he gets it. But you are worshiping deception in this world. And when you pass in Christ, and you are in Christ, and you go to the other side, you are going to be worshiping truth for eternity. Truth. You're not going to be worshiping deception like they do here. And when they cross over to the other side and end up in their eternity, they're going to be surrounded by the very deceptions that we've been trying to expose to the people in and of this world.
Mm. Well said. So were you a pastor at one time in your life, Randy?
Nope. God just gave me a good voice, bro. He just gave me some insight. He gave me some wisdom. I decreased so that he could increase. I read Daniel 4:11, where he said, look at Daniel, close the book, and end days I'm going to increase knowledge. And I said, as soon as I read that, he showed me the number 411. He goes, look at that number. And I'm like, why? And it went 411, went, oh, if I punch 411 into my phone, it comes up information. This is information. If he's going to increase knowledge, he's going to increase information in these days. And I just reached out and said, look, give me all of it. I want to know all of it. I'm ready. And yeah, that's all I do. I just preach what I'm told. I just preach what I know.
Yeah, and we see the information age expanding and blowing up in our face right now. How that's going to play out in the end times, it's kind of an interesting situation. It really is.
It's beautiful.
It really is. I kind of look at that, and one of the other things that I've tried to study a little bit is numerology in the Bible and how times and dates and numbers all work. And I can't explain a lot of it. I kind of looked at it. Maybe you want to touch on that a little bit, because maybe you're up on that a little bit more than me, but some of the things I've kind of looked at are just, it astounds me how some of these numbers work. Are you up on that, Randy? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't really look too much at the numbers. I'm more into the book of Proverbs and wisdom in these days. I have a fear of God right now, so I'm just, I'm looking at the wisdom. But, the 33-degree Freemason, you see 33 everywhere. Anybody that understands Greek numerology or Jewish numerology, you can break down anything and see. Like even, the word orange in Jewish gematria comes up 33. So this is why you're seeing Donald Trump being called the orange man. They're showing you exactly who it is that is in control with these secret societies in and of the ways of this world. So, yeah, you can take a look at the book of numerology and figure it all out. For me right now, I'm more inclined to look at the wisdom in Proverbs and try to teach people to get right with God in a way that they can receive the same knowledge and come to these truths. The numerology is very interesting, but I think that my focus is more, to be honest with you, brother, is more on just trying to get people out of this fear so that they can open their eyes and see the truth.
Well, fear is the biggest virus running around the planet just today, isn't it, Randy?
It's powerful.
I mean, it's very, very powerful. And how they use that against people and how that affects people, it astounds me, but in the same mouthful, it doesn't, because they have used the same techniques on the human race for how many years now? And they know how it affects people, and they know the result they're going to get. So why would you stop using something that works so well? Problem, reaction, solution. We see that right now with this virus. This thing to me I believe it's a test. I believe that this might just disappear and become not news for a little while, but then all of a sudden another virus is going to appear. And this virus will have actual knockdown power. They've seen how society reacts to this one. I don't know if this one actually is the big, I'll call it the big shalada. But it definitely is a test to find out how people react to the situation that they've been put into in the last couple of months. Unbelievable. Look at the World Health Organization, Randy. People, that's all you have to do, folks. Go look at the World Health Organization. It's not the World Health Organization. It's the Chinese Health Organization. And who runs it and where this virus, so-called virus, came from, it doesn't take much to put it all together. Go ahead.
No, but people don't want to put it together. They want to watch CNN. They want CNN to tell them. They want Fox News to tell them. They're not interested in the truth.
even though the truth is making monumental, we're seeing monumental changes in our society, and people can't take a few minutes to go look at the other side of the story, that all they do is drink the Kool-Aid coming out of mainstream, then we really do have a problem. But then, you know, the Second World War, Randy, I mean, Hitler took over all media in Germany in about 1935. He controlled it all. And he also turned the youth against their parents in the Second World War, prior to the Second World War. Well, we see the same thing happening again in society today. Exact duplication.
Yeah, that was their first attempt at pushing New World Order.
I think it was. It was just after the League of Nations was formed. Yeah.
If you look at the bloodlines, Merkel, the prime minister or the president of Germany, is actually Hitler's great-granddaughter. And if you take a look at the bloodlines of the Bush family, their last name is Schwepp, and they come from Germany. If you take a look at the Queen of England, they're German. They're not English. So it all comes from it. This is just another attempt at bringing a New World Order. And they learned from the mistake of what happened. This is the same. I mean, this was a battle. This was a battle on spiritual levels back then. I did a full documentary called Demons Among Us Part 1, 2, and 3 on YouTube. And okay. it had like almost 1 million views. It was rated the number one exposure for aliens being demons. And in that video, they talk about how Hitler used to talk to demons. This is where they get their power from. This is where they get their technology from. MK Ultra came out of that World War II time. So this is all demonic. That's what I mean. This world is a satanic ritual. People don't understand, and they're afraid to dig deep enough to figure all this out. But we're in a satanic ritual. We are to be a light in this darkness. We're not to conform to the darkness. We're to be a light in it. Give me 1 second. I got to use the bathroom, brother. Give me 1 second. You mind?
You go right ahead. Can't have you talking
I got to use the bathroom. I got to get some cold water. My throat is coming. I'm outside here. It's about 110 degrees. And, yeah, I want to just get a little mouthful of water, freshen up a bit, and I'll be right back.
You need me to put a song on, Barry?
We could if you want for a couple minutes, and then we'll have about 10 minutes left. In the show, or you and me could carry on a conversation, Steve.
It's not up to me. It's up to you. Well, no, we can.
Why don't you go ahead and take a break there for a second.
No, we can carry on for 2 or 3 minutes while he's gone.
We can carry on for a couple 3 minutes, Stephen. I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now that we both are aware of, and we share talks and conversations all the time.
Yeah, you know what I.
The one thing, go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to argue a point that he said earlier that there is more than 1% that is in control. You know, he is right about the 13 bloodlines. The Rothschild has, Rothschilds bought Reuters back in 1888, and then they bought AP after they bought Reuters. Virtually all news agencies get their news from Reuters and AP. And then they put their little spin on it.
Right. Well, that's how long has that been going on? And how much of a control factor is that in society?
Yeah.
You control them. You control the people.
There are 6 men and 6 corporations that control the entire world's medias, news agencies, and entertainment. Six corporations and 6 men.
But that people turn on CNN and MSNBC and CBC here in Canada and think they're still getting actual news, but all they're getting is propaganda. There will never be anything put on there that the government doesn't want you to hear or see.
Right. They're either getting left or right wing spin is what they're getting.
Well, it's working very effectively because we see a very, very, very divided society. I mean, you look at what's going on right now in our world and the divisions and people wanting to kill themselves and the hate-on that we see between people and the fact that now people are snitching on people because they're not practicing safe distancing practices in the States and people are being arrested for going outside and walking in a park. You know,
yes.
I mean, how far does it have to go before people wake up and say
how far? The apocalypse.
Well, is
the total collapse. The apocalypse.
Well, my dad will tell you that's where we're going, Steve.
That's how far it's going to have to go.
Well, that I believe is written in stone. That you know, the Bible tells me what the beginning was. It talks to me about this particular time. It also tells me what we can expect going forward. And I got to go with that, man. I really do. That's what I have to stand by, because it's his truth. And I don't think he'd let us be deceived on something so essential as the information that we are exposed to in Revelations. And I look at that, and I look at the newspaper today, and the correlation is just unbelievable.
Sure it is. Did you see what I posted earlier today? A YouTube video?
I was looking at a whole bunch of them today, but what did you post?
Well, 1976, 60 Minutes did a piece on the swine flu back when they tried to scare the entire world with the swine flu and all of the vaccinations and the Guillain-Barré and all of the neurological effects that vaccinations have. Mm-hmm. You can just virtually change the news anchor and change the news agency and change it from swine flu to COVID-19, and it was virtually the same piece.
Yeah. Well, it's the same agenda being played out. I mean, they
changed the years, yeah.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I kind of looking at this as being, well, I, like I said, I don't think this is the big event that really is going to change things catastrophically. I think it's still a test.
Change in what way?
What happens when they poke people and when they expose people to a level of fear?
Well,
how society's going to react?
They are already introducing the idea that you won't be able to get your driver's license renewed unless you get the
vaccine.
Yeah, the vaccine and the chip.
Well, and they're also now preparing us for the second wave that they're going to tell us about.
That's for sure. Four. Sure.
It's all out there right now. I mean, we can see the agenda. Well, what they're going to try to do.
Hopefully,
enough of the information will get out. The actual truth about this will get out, and we'll put a stop to it.
Well, I told everybody a month ago that this was never going to go away. Is your guest back?
I'm back.
Are you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready? Yes, sir.
Now you feel better?
I was listening to you guys. You're 100% right, man. Look, they're going to take this to the edge. This ain't going away. Welcome to the New World Order, where the second they need to control you or the second they need to make some adjustments in the system, they just tell you, go home and don't come out till we tell you.
Yep. And all of a sudden, the second wave will appear, or something else is going to appear. I mean, they've seen how we reacted to this, and people think it's just going to go back to normal. But it's not, Randy. Life will never be the same after this. But try and make people understand that.
It was never the same after 9/11. What makes them think something that affected the entire world is going to go back to normal?
Exactly.
Or their version of it.
Exactly. Well, it's also, you know, they wanted to grab a little bit more power, a little bit more control over society, and they've achieved that. And they're sitting back right now and going, yeah, this worked really well. What's next on the agenda?
Can I bust in there again, Barry?
That figured out.
Can I bust in there again, Barry?
You can.
Yeah, Randy just mentioned 9/11, September 11th, 2001. They actually failed. What was it? 7 years earlier in 1993, trying to blow the building up, and it didn't work.
Yes.
They actually failed trying to implement the draconian measures that they wanted, also with the 1993 Oklahoma City bombing and the Waco siege and all that. They failed on all of this, but they succeeded on September 11th.
Oh yes, and that's exactly why Bush said, the world can hear them, and they were talking. They use these events when they get on a microphone and do their events. They're talking to each other. They're not talking to the people. They're not talking to us. They're talking to their colleagues and their cohorts and their satanic, you know, cultists. And this is why Nancy Pelosi was saying during the impeachment hoax, we got to hurry up. We got to get this done. We have no time to waste. We got to go for it now. We got to go. She wasn't talking about the hoax impeachment. She was talking about what we're witnessing right now. That's what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just mentioned Bush earlier, too. He also said that we're going to get them bad guys. We're going to get the terrorists. Well, they consider us terrorists. And look at what they did. They made the Patriot Act. That's got nothing to do with terrorism.
Yeah, we're the evildoers. If you look at the Patriot Act, you look at Homeland Security's list of terrorists, Christians are right at the very top.
Yes, they are. We're classified as a threat to society now.
Yes, we are.
Crazy, isn't it? And yet, it was the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great.
Because the Muslims ain't even on it.
Well, yeah, this country was formed on Judeo-Christian values. It was made as a great society, and now that's been turned upside down and turned around. And people can't see the trees or the forest.
Amen to that, sir.
You know, 9/11, we talk about that lots. And you know what? That's kind of the thing that really kind of woke me up, Randy, as to just exactly what was going on in this world. Because up to that point, really, honestly, I got to be honest, it was about 9 years ago, somebody said, Barry, you got to go watch this video. It's called 9/11, Architecture Truth. And, you know, I knew that, you know, there was bad things going on in the world. There was evil and all that kind of stuff back then. But I had no idea really how deep and how evil these people were until I watched that. That was a wake-up call for me. It really was. It also led me to a real strong conviction. Rick Champagne, a really good friend of mine, passed away 3 years ago now, I believe it is. And he was another major impact in my life that got me off the fence and really made me take a stand for Jesus. That's where I'm at today, brother. And I'm not perfect. He knows that. But I am a work in process and in progress. And I start my day with prayer, Randy, and I know that the connection I feel is so real that I will never, ever be able to deny it. Period.
Of course not. Well, look, gentlemen, I got to go. Apparently, my dinner's ready. I'm staying right now.
Our show's over anyways.
They tried to cook me a Haitian meal because I just, you know, help a lot of people here in the Dominican, and they're always, you know, gracious and thankful. So they're going to make me some dinner, and apparently it's ready. So, look, I really, really thoroughly enjoyed this, brother. God bless you guys. Thank you for having me. I hope that, you know, we brought forth some good, positive information for people to really give this world a second thought and understand. Get right with the Lord, man. That's the bottom line. You got to get right with him.
And quickly before you go, Randy, where can people find you again?
Okay, my Facebook is Randy Ace, R-A-N-D-Y, capital A-C-E, Randy Ace on Facebook. And if you go to YouTube, my channel is Flat Out Elected, all one word, Flat Out Elected, F-L-A-T-O-U-T-E-L-C-T-E-D, Flat Out Elected on YouTube.
Cool. Okay, well, I'm sure you'll get some people following you because I've enjoyed my conversation with you today immensely, and thanks for coming in, Randy, and sharing your thoughts. We'll do it again.
I love you guys. You stay strong in the Lord, man. Let's get home. Let's get home with our Father.
Amen.
All right, guys. You be blessed.
Okay, well, thanks to my guest today for coming in. Thanks to Ron, first hour, for coming in. And thanks for that conversation, Randy. I really enjoyed that. I know my audience enjoyed it. We're probably going to shut it out a couple minutes early here today. But I've enjoyed the conversations. I hope you guys have too. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week, and God bless you all, and bye for now.